What's up, y'all, and welcome back to the Carefree Black Nerd Podcast. Gonna do something a little different. Got a little X-Men review. This is we're gonna call this show To Me My X-Men Podcast. Yeah, I'll say that. This is To Me My X-Men Podcast. We're gonna discuss none other than the 2024 reboot slash continuation slash extension of the 1992 Fox X-Men animated series show. I am your host, Rain Coleman. Of course, when you're listening to this podcast, use that hashtag TMMX5. I got someone with me today, a voice you all should be familiar with. Please let these mutants know who's on the mic today.
Yo, it's me, Ivy from Ivy's Podcast. I am coming out of retirement. Let's talk X-Men. Nah, I had to stop potting because like it was taking up too much of my time. Ooh. And I'm like I haven't even done a stream for video games in months because it just takes up too much time. Man, and as you see, I got this whiteboard over here and shit, so I'm working on a lot of stuff.
You said he got some shit cooking, like Sinister in the lab, making mutants.
I'm just trying to get out the hood, you feel me? I love X-Men, so it's cool to be back and talk X-Men with some real niggas, man.
Hey, that's what's up. And y'all listeners out there, please be sure that you engage. Let these folks know their social medias if you want them to find you. If not,
At IvyNoCarter_.
IvyNoCarter_. Okay. That will be in the show notes, of course. And let's get right to it. So before even getting into this reboot, remix, remastered version, let's talk 1992. Did you watch the series, the first one when it came out? I know you were a little younger, you know what I'm saying? Maybe that wasn't your thing.
Nigga, the internet was around at some point, so I was gonna have to see
it. I mean,
die in 97. They was rerunning the fuck out that show.
Yeah, say, somebody was getting checks. Nigga.
Like, the residuals look good because...
Yes.
I saw more of that than X-Men Evolution.
Right. No, truly. And that's funny that you say that because... I was thinking that, like, yeah, I grew up watching X-Men 92, but, like, I saw X-Men Evolution, but that came much later, and I didn't watch it live on TV.
I watched it live. X-Men Evolution, that's my childhood.
Okay.
The original animated series, they kept rerunning it, and I think at some point when Wolverine and the X-Men just disappointed everybody, I think we kind of, and we just realized we weren't getting any good X-Men movies for a long time. Mm-hmm. We kind of just said, hey, let's check out this animated show for real. We're not eating as X-Men fans. Like, let's check it out. And yes, I didn't get a chance to rewatch it right before the new show came out.
Yeah.
Shout out to new rock stars, Screen Crush, and all of them who did. They did 30 to an hour total breakdown to the entire series to catch you up. Very thorough. They'll let you know everything that happens. You're not gonna get the nuances of the characters and shit.
Yeah,
you follow an interesting timeline, and I forgot that is how that show ended off. I was like, yo, did the show get canceled? This can't be the official ending of the series.
Man, they said, fuck that. You little minorities and that bald man that's running y'all, you motherfuckers gotta go. Yeah, Xavier was he sick and then went off to the Shi'ar Empire, and it was like, all right, adios, nigga. I don't know. Like, so there you go. Okay, so animated series, so that's check. I'll say this. I have not finished a rewatch, but I did start one like a year ago and was like live tweeting through it. It held up, but I don't know if it held up because of my nostalgia or if it held up because it was really good, but I enjoyed it.
It was pretty good. Like, I can't lie. It's a pretty good show. It's really good.
Yeah, I agree. You know, not just because that's my childhood. I truly enjoy it. And I think it came along during that time, and I'm going to get this wrong because I don't remember what came first, but you had your Batman, the animated series, you had your Spider-Man.
They both came out the same year and ended the same year, 92 to 97.
Hey, they said, enough of you comic fuckers. And then you had stuff like Gargoyles, like you had cartoons on network TV that had good storylines. It wasn't...
I'm from the era where I wasn't... I watched all those shows, but we call ourselves the rerun generation because like I'm 28 now. So they were still showing it, but we didn't catch it in real time. So like we were watching up all that shit on like ABC Family or whatever. Like that's how we were catching that shit.
I can see that. That's so interesting the way that technology moved. Cause kind of off topic, but in the grand scheme of things, like, I grew up watching this. You watched this as reruns. Then you got this, like, reboot or whatever. But, like, kids now who are, like, tween age are getting an entirely different form of media. So, like, they probably don't even give a fuck about this shit. It's probably the kids that are watching the colorful stuff. But, like, the tweens, teenage, well, I don't think we really even have that distinction anymore. So, like,
They have to just be in love with superheroes and shit. Like, they have to just, because if you're not in love with it like that, you probably won't find yourself really watching it. Because truthfully, I kind of said we're in a superhero drought right now. Especially as far as actual IP that we're interested in. I know everyone loves The Boys. I'm not as high on The Boys as other people, but I love Invincible. But when I was talking last year, my friend, we were debating what the best superhero movie was of last year. And I said it's Guardians of the Galaxy 3. And we were talking, I said, man, it's not like a lot of good shit came out. We're like, you know what, that's right. It's really just between that and Across the Spider-Verse. So if you're fiending for that type of content, like X-Men, the animated series works.
Yeah.
It works very well.
I can see that. And to your point, I don't think that there's any show. Now, I'm also not a kid who's at home at a certain time. I'm at work. So if there is something, I maybe just not be aware of it. But I don't know that there is a cartoon series, because you're not consuming media the same way. We got streaming, 5,000 streaming services. All your attention is split between who's trying to get your attention and who fits the niche. So whereas we would sit down and maybe had 20 channels, and then you got your pick of these things.
I think one thing I'm going to just say before we keep going, it's time for some of these streaming services to kind of just fold in on themselves.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they, quite frankly, they ruined Hollywood. There's too much going on, and it's hard to keep up with everything. Like, I'm hearing Shogun's amazing, and I have yet to even, like, turn it on because I'm watching other shit that's still kind of happening in real time. And I want to rewatch shit that I haven't seen in a minute. Like, this shit is hard.
You mentioned Invincible, and I forgot that the season even dropped.
It came back,
It's dirty. It's dirty out here. Capitalism is killing us. They want it all.
Niggas like, you ain't gone to see Dune yet? You ain't seen Monkey Man? Nigga, no. Like, it's too much shit going on. I'm just going to wait till they hit streaming services and I become that guy. I'm like, I don't want to be that guy. I like the movie theaters.
Same. Yes, it takes. I think I went to see a lot more movies at the end of last year because it was like holiday time. Shit was coming out back to back. Work was work and you still had adult life, but it's like things seem to slow down just a little bit. But even that, going to the movies every, because I went like maybe 3 or 4 weeks in a row, I neglected so much other stuff. You're not wrong. Oh, this is not the world that Charles wanted for us. So with that said, so we got the new reboot. So without details on episode 1 and 2, just general thoughts. You watched them. How did this feel? Did you give a damn? Did you not care? Like, what? What's up?
I'm going to go out and say it. The animation is bothering me. I can't explain why it bothers me. Everyone's like, no, it looks so cool and faithful. I said, it looks like the exact same frame rate animation style that they used in the 90s, but it's in 4K. So it looks crazy. It looks like when I went to go, it looked like what I saw. What is that shit that Will Smith did when he played the clone of himself? They shot in 100 frames per second.
Something man.
Gemini Man. Who gives?
Gemini. That's what it was. Gemini Man.
And it was shot in that frame rate, and it just looked weird as fuck. That's what it feels like watching. But I get it. I'm cool. Okay. I can live with it though. I'm not gonna bug it out over it. But it just looks weird. It just looks so freaking weird. It looks weird.
I can agree. You know what it almost feels like? It feels like it's that in-between stage between like the original X-Men and Archer. Like it's almost to that.
That's what it looked like. I could not explain what it looked like. Yeah. I'm like, it looks off. What is it about it? It looks like Archer.
Yeah, but not like it's not committing. Like Archer got them thick ass bold line. Like it's like this isn't, and it's no knock against the animators. I know y'all are doing what you got. You're doing what you can with what you got and what they gave you. So no knock against them. But it does look like it's almost at Archer level. Almost. So
like it does. It looks just like Archer. It looks just like Archer.
Well, maybe they're in the same universe. You know, you never know.
It's funny. Archie's animation used to bother me a lot when I first started watching it.
I can see that. I can see that. But what I will say, it's kind of, it almost lends itself to like old school comics, like the actual comic panels and stuff. But I could see how that would be upsetting.
It's not upsetting because like I get it, but it's just like, damn, this just looks weird. And it just continues to just look weird.
Oh, so you, between the two episodes, it's like you, it still ain't settled on you. Like you're still jarred. Yeah.
Yes. Like I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yo, I wonder.
Anytime you think you get used to it, you don't get used to it. Like when I seen Beast pick the Sentinel up and flip him, I was like, no, what the fuck? I'm like, this is not real.
Oh man.
That's not crazy. I have a 4K TV in my living room and just a regular 1080 in my bedroom. I had to go to my bedroom and turn on the 1080. I said, yo, I can't do this on 4K. Yeah, nah. Let me turn the resolution down a little bit.
That nightmare fuel. I said, I don't know, man. I'll get lost in it, and then there'll like some action will happen. I'm like, oh, that's,
you're like, it looks crazy. It's different. You're like, it just looks great. But it's a good show though. I'm enjoying the fact that just continuing to build off of what we had before.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's the purpose of it.
Yeah.
I think most people will say, now your bigger X-Men purists, they'll probably find nitpicks and complaints. But I think for the most part, we could say this is probably the closest to accuracy of X-Men representation that we've ever gotten.
Well, especially since that first X-Men movie, what was that? 2001?
2000. Yeah. And nigga said, yo, what do you want us to wear? Yellow spandex? I'm like, yeah, seeing you guys in yellow and blue would be very nice.
Yeah, it would be.
Watch you guys in this fucking gimp suits and shit. Like, niggas just said, like, you can't move in leather. You've owned a leather jacket. You can't move in that.
It's so weird because Barbie was a big hit. What if Barbie was just like, what? No, we're only wearing denim. No pink, no bright colors, everybody in denim. Yeah, that color is part of Barbie. Like, yeah,
let's make Barbie a little bit more grounded. We're only gonna have accents of pink and not just like the entire thing.
Right, the buttons and shit. Like that, wild. But that's where we at. I'm hoping that this will inform some decisions in the MCU if we ever even get these motherfuckers. My God.
It's likely we're gonna get them. We talked about this years back when I we're kind of hearing rumors that that the cast that they had for when they did when they brought in the reboot cast, that they locked them into long-term contracts where if they were going to continue to make more movies, their contracts run until I think 2025. So like,
what the hell?
Yeah. So it's again, because they knew they were having budding stars. Like, yeah, Michael Fassbender, Nicholas Hoult, Jennifer Lawrence, James McAvoy. So it's like, just buy it in case if any of these guys become superstars, we can still bring them back instead of doing a movie by movie and have to try to convince them to come back each time.
I mean, I get it, but I don't know, man. I get that, but I think at some point we changed from, like, I'll use Iron Man for an example. Like, he was a toy you just had in a toy box that you could use and you could tell these interesting stories. And I don't want to go down the nerd path of, like, this is why the MCU sucks, because it's not that. But I think at some point there was a pivot where it was no longer, let's tell this, you know, really interesting story with these characters who everybody doesn't know. And now it's like, let's churn these things out. And I'm hoping we don't get there.
It's because they're finally tapping into the popular characters. Like, mostly obviously because of licensing reasons. So like, now you're getting more Spider-Man because they had to pretty much do that thing with Sony. Now it did the X-Men thing. Also, the X-Men thing is interesting because I tell them they didn't buy the IP, they bought Fox.
So you
have to actually deal with what those contracts are legally binding. So you have to deal with it. That's why Patrick Stewart, who I forget can walk, I genuinely always forget he can walk. So when he was standing up in Multiverse of Madness, I was like, oh shit, my nigga can walk. Oh, like, you just actually forget because I've seen him as Professor X so much. Okay. So you're bringing him into it, and now you're bringing, you gave Hugh Jackman a blank check to come back as Wolverine. So they're trying, I'm admiring what they're doing. They're trying to find an interesting way. They say, yo, we kind of have to use these guys. Let's find an interesting way to use these guys and bring them back. I'm looking at set photos of Deadpool and Wolverine, which I never do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll see a familiar face. They're like, yeah, that's the guy that played Pyro.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, oh no, you guys are doing this shit for real.
Oh yeah. He said, no, nigga, I'm here. And it's interesting because this is very different from, let's say, I have these toys or these characters to play with. Now let's tell these fun stories. This is, I have an established universe with continuity already. How do I put these other beloved motherfuckers in here in a way that makes sense as much as you can? Navigate a contract and navigate this continuity we set, even with the multiverse. It's like, okay, you may have that, but where these motherfuckers been? You know, so.
So they're like, hey, let's use Ryan Reynolds.
Why not? Scarlet Witch is like Nexus beings. Them two motherfuckers right there.
Did you see the trailer for Deadpool and Wolverine?
I saw one of them.
They're the only one that came out with. That, first of all, that wig on his head pissed me off. And then he said, wait a minute. He said, you think this scares me? Pegging is new to me, but it is for Disney. And looked at the camera. I had to turn it off. I had to turn the trailer off. I said, no. I'm like, I'll revisit this in a little bit. No, that's not how you're starting this, right?
Yes, it is. He's Ryan and his Mint Mobile checks. He got something to say, like the South did. Axe Andre 3000. Okay. So let's pivot into this show. So episode one of the X-Men 97 is To Me My X-Men. Now Cyclops races to find the source of a new anti-mutant technology whilst managing the team. And that's a pretty okay description. Essentially, this motherfucker and his strike team go in to rescue Robert DaCosta instead of Jubilee. And shit happens. What's your thoughts, man, on that opening, that code open that we got?
First of all, we have to stop with the Jubilee thing. Like, it's time to let Jubilee go.
Nigga, no. This is the Jubilee stand account. We ain't letting her go.
She's just Dazzler without the talent. Like, it's time.
Okay, I'm going to let you have. You're wrong, but I'm going to let you have that.
Why is Jubilee always the lens of things? Like, hey, let's do this through the eyes of Jubilee.
It's terrible writing. I stand by that. It's terrible writing. And not necessarily this show, but just the handling of her character. Since the 90s, this motherfucker has not grown, which is weird. It's weird. And I want to say something, but it's not my place because that's not my community. But like, out of all the Asian characters we got, both in like Spider-Man universe and the Marvel universe at large, you mean to tell me she the only motherfucker that's like trailing behind these, stuck with that yellow fucking trench coat and them big ass you mean to tell? Now for this, we're still in 97, but like, I don't know if I saw no Asian girls dressed like this in 97. Where is the creative consultants? Where are the Chinese American first generation writers and artists?
Anytime I think about like, hey man, black characters have it hard, that I look at the Asian community, I'm like, yeah, you know what, we have it hard, but no, y'all have it hard.
Which is
it's like, you would do something with Jubilee, do something.
They killing me, bro. They killing me.
Like, if you're gonna make her a device for something, it's the equivalent when they use Rogue in the live action movies. Like, mm-hmm. when you use her
oh god, yeah,
and you do nothing with her.
Yeah, which is like, yeah, go ahead.
I mean, it's dumb. It is dumb. Outside of that, I like the show genuinely. I'm glad Scott is getting. I just saw collectively everyone's showing Scott love. And they're like, damn. They're all just like, everyone's just like, damn. They really hold that nigga in the movies.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes. They made him a cuck in the movies.
Oh no.
Like, you would not have known he's the leader if you just only watched the movies.
Them movies are, yeah, they are something. They are something, and they were good for the time because we didn't have that. But like, even then, I'm with you. I've never been a Cyclops stan, but I've always been like, okay, he's pretty cool. I mean, I can see it. The lore behind his family, not even him and Jean, but just him and his family, his daddy, his brother, the helicopter, Sinister. I think he's interesting, but I do think that this show did for him what nobody has done before. Like, in the comics, sure, but we read the comics. Like, in general, he's pretty cool in his first episode. I ain't gonna hold you.
Yeah,
I ain't gonna hold you.
He's cool as hell. I'm just like, damn. Maybe we'll start seeing more people who are just gonna be fans of Cyclops. Because they have Wolverine being the leader for some reason in the movies.
Bruh, and that
they was on that nigga's dick, bro. Oh my god. Like,
I don't get it. I don't get it.
On Wolverine's dick.
I don't get it. Like, he's everywhere. He's been everywhere in comics forever and a day for all the movies. Like, and I'm not hating, but I truly don't get it. Because is it that he's Canadian? Is it that he's short? Like, there's so many other characters who can, like, is it the healing factor? Like,
I think it's because of just Hugh Jackman. But even they were leaning heavy into Hugh Jackman in the first movie.
That's like, 6'2". So I
think that I found out the reason why they kind of let Scott play the background a lot is because the technology wasn't there yet to really showcase his power. They weren't able to use his power the way they could. So just mad, just like regular laser beams or just little shit. And not like, hey, when in the first, whatever episode it was, when they're all free fall, they get caught. I say, yo, who's gonna catch this nigga?
Hey,
and he does the thing. Hey. I was like, yo,
yes,
this nigga used his laser beams to.
Hey, Scott was not fucking around
to like levitate himself down to the bottom or like ease his fall.
But not even that. In the opening, when he was fucking shifting across the deck, he was like skating and shit through his lasers. When he grabbed up Robert, shot that laser and moved him back to that wall, and he was like,
"That's just crazy." Like, they're showcasing what he could do. That's what's been the most interesting part of X-Men. It's funny that anytime we get a live action version, even going back to the Generation X live TV movie in like '96.
Come on,
it's like they don't show what they can really do, and it's, hey, they're not just regular they're not just have regular superpowers. This is embedded in their DNA. So you can have so much more creativity.
Yes,
what can go on with what they can do, because this is not something it's not something they inherit later.
Yeah,
it's in them. So do things with it. I think Legion might have the best. As far as live action representation of,
like,
as far as how unique their powers really can get, Legion might be the best out of all of them.
I think
how we portray it, and then I'm gonna say maybe X-23 and Logan, where they gave they showed her having the bat claw and how she uses she used it as straight for defense mechanisms. So like, that's great. Or even Charles getting dementia and what that looks like. Like, you don't get that. Storm is a great character, and we don't see her do shit.
See, that's my okay. So, of course, we're speaking from a consumer perspective, and also maybe sort of media, because we've done this for years. But I understand that there's a lot that goes into movies, be it animation or live action. But to your point, I think the creativity has to be there. Like, I love Jubilee all day long, but even with her, I think she is the easiest character to use, because you just need pyrotechnics. You quite literally just need firecrackers. And if you can find a way to make that look different on screen, you're golden. You don't need a whole bunch.
You know what I think of? Do you watch My Hero Academia?
I'm new to it, but yeah.
Okay, so there's this guy, Bakugo.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I said his name right. Yeah, because I've seen him in a minute. Bakugo.
With the weight?
He's the one where... he has like the grenade power.
Okay.
So you find out that the way his power works, and it's very mutant like as well. Like, because they develop their powers around the time they're 5 or 6. You learn that. I was like, how does this shit work? You're like, oh no, he sweats kerosene.
That's nice.
So he could ignite it. So literally, he has these gauntlets that that collect all the sweat in his body. And he lets off an explosive blast. Like, that's what I mean by like unique ways of displaying these types of powers.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I'm looking up the character now, and yes, this is a cool design. And what you just said, that right there would be easy enough.
Like that's what I look for like mutant abilities. It's crazy that, and again, the hindsight is 2020, because My Hero Academia, the anime, came out, I want to say 2015, 2016. And I can't compare it to the 90s X-Men.
Right.
That's kind of what we should kind of be looking for is, these guys are unique. do something with it that they can make interesting.
Yeah, well, I'll say, not to get too far ahead, they, I don't want to say they kind of did it, but
they're getting there.
Uh-oh. Oh, shit, y'all. Ivy didn't froze.
God. We're about to get Cable. So, it looks like they're leaning towards Cable.
Yeah, they are. Which
is just a non-runaround version of being Cable, not having Jean Grey be a clone or whatever.
I mean, we don't know. He might go to the future and come back, you know, in the first 90 series or something. We don't know.
I love how Bishop is still there for some reason. Bishop should not really still be there, but he's still there.
Hey, he's like, fuck all that. Fuck what you heard. I'm in this thing. Oh my god. Okay, so I will say the opening of this episode. And if I can find it, I'm going to put it in. Well, I don't know if they'll copyright strike that, but there is a version of that fight that one of the guys who I think was an animator said that they animated that fight to a clip song, and somebody put in the actual song, and it fits.
Wait, which song?
Perfectly. Oh, I don't know. I have to find, because I bookmarked it, and I got like three different accounts, so I gotta search through. But I'll find out. I'll send it directly
clips
to you.
Clips like the rap group clips.
Yeah, definitely. And when you see it, it's like it's good with the music that's there, but with this song, it's like, oh, Nick, no, we could have got this, but you know how music and TV and streaming all is. We'll probably never get a unless it's something like Into the Spider-Verse or Black Panther, where you've made it specifically for this project, we probably won't get something like that at all. Okay, so we got the two-part opening. We got Saving Roberto. I know we went through this with Jubilee in the first series, and then we got Roberto. Are you a Sunspot fan, or do you even care about that man?
I want to see more.
Of him?
I want to just see... Yeah, that's why I just want to see what more of what these guys just can do, and figure out a way to make the characters interesting later.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is me very using the parallel of My Hero Academia. If you hate it, you hate it. But what draws us into the characters of My Hero is we're like, oh, they all have really cool powers, and then their powers are tied to their background and story. That's how we're like, oh shit, you start to get it.
Yeah.
Like, you start to, at one point, really get it. You're like, oh, shit, this is really cool.
I mean, the same can be said, not one for one, but the same could be said for, what's the shit with Inosuke and, what's the shit? God damn it, that little boy with that bruise on his fucking head, the anime. I just finished watching that shit. Why can I not remember? But the villains on there.
I think, not as a demon.
Demon Slayer, God, yeah.
I say Demon Slayer.
Like, the heroes, not so much, because they're just folks who learned how to do... Well, they were trained. But with the villains, what I found was every single time you came across a villain, a demon, it was like, yeah, we fighting them in this strong power and this evil, but all of that evil was tied to a trauma from when they were human. So, the power builds on whatever the hell they had before. So, like you said, with Homeboy, with the sweating and the explosives and stuff, like, that's quite literally a part of him. He didn't train to sweat kerosene. That's just something that's going on with him. So I don't know, man. Do better, y'all. Do better, live action.
Do better. Like, that's all we want. That's all we want. Seriously. And I feel like we may get it eventually.
Mm-hmm.
We may, because every time I look at a mutant, I'm like, damn, they did y'all wrong. They've done losses wrong.
Bruh.
To an extent, they've done Wolverine wrong as well, too. Mm-hmm. They've done Jean wrong. They've done Cyclops wrong.
Rogue. No, Rogue. Mystique.
They've done Rogue pretty wrong too.
Yeah, no, truly. Anna Paquin was True Blood, got her own, but that wasn't. Well,
yo, I've always told people I had a crush on Anna Paquin when she was Rogue.
I could see it, but I don't know.
She's cute. She was cute.
little
strand of white hair. I'm like, yo, this girl cute as hell.
I was a child.
I was like seven when I first saw
X2. I get it. Big old green cape. And then, but she had like that comic accurate green fit with that big old, man, she could have been so much.
They never want to do comic accurate outfits. They're like, hey, let's kind of hint at it a little bit and do nothing else.
I hate that. I hate that for her.
Like Colossus had like his suit with the sleeves off. Mm-hmm. Just give him his suit.
Yeah, lean into them shoulder pads. It'll be all right.
Give him his suit, man.
Oh my God. Okay, so we got Scott running shit. We get back home and it's playing around and shit. We get Gambit in his halter top with his
ponytail. This is very, they're making a note. Yeah, we're still in the 90s.
Yeah.
They're making it, yeah. I have not seen a crop top like that ever. That, with my own two eyes.
That's a very particular type of white man, too. Like, I'm, and this ain't no shade or anything. I'm like, but when I saw that, I said, oh, I've seen this white man. This particular Gambit, I've seen this man in real life. Yeah, that's some Bret Michaels Rock of Love types. Like, that is some nigga. Shit.
Yes, fucking George Michael ass outfit.
Yeah, right. I was like 97, but I can't push back against it because I was a kid. So
I was a baby, so I can't say shit. Like, I guess maybe because I think what I learned from people who were there in the 90s, they're like, yeah, the late 90s. Like until like 99 hit, it was still kind of just a lot of stragglers from
it was what
the peak of the decade looked like.
Even going into the 2000s, there was this like business casual shift.
Probably the 2000s. It's because Jay-Z said he didn't want niggas wearing jerseys in the club.
Oh my God, man! I ain't gonna tell my business, but I wore some things. I went to Sadie Hawkins with my best friend and my sister. We just went in there with the Usher outfit on. Why were we wearing that?
I went to an eighth grade middle school dance and I have one of my outfits on too.
Yo,
like we was looking crazy. We were out here looking crazy.
Like, what are you doing?
Like the business casual era of the club, especially into like the early 2010s.
Yes.
When clothes got slimmer. Everybody looked like it was about to go to a job interview.
Man, I'm saying, swim through your nice blouse, got your slacks full of fucking glitter from grinding on people. Oh my God. Yeah, that was
sweaty, church
business casual. Yeah, and sweaty. I mean dancing hard.
Like, dancing hard as hell.
Nigga, what?
Wedding, bro. No.
Oh my God.
Crazy as hell.
Oh my God!
Crazy.
Yeah, it was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
You said to be there for it. You said to be there for it, man.
Yeah, y'all. Right. Was that right around the blog era? Oof, y'all.
Yep.
Right
over. Yep. Before we get fashionable.
Yes, indeed. So if you listener, viewer, whoever, if y'all was around back then and you got you a weird outfit that you would not wear again today, please let us know what that is. Did you have an Usher fit? Did you have the happy hour outfit at 14 years old dressing like your fucking working class mom and dad? Let us know.
For sure. Nah, seriously. I want to see it.
Yeah, no, truly.
I want to see how crazy y'all was walking around looking. I need to see it.
If you look at Jean's outfit, that was a regular ass outfit. That green short sleeve thing with the button down with the khaki. Yeah, that's something you could see. Like you said, at school, at work, at the club, that was a everywhere outfit.
Man, versatile. And you live in Texas, so imagine having to wear that shit in the summertime.
Ain't no way. Fuck that. Y'all don't do that.
The club,
lovely.
The club,
hot ass club, sweating like hell. Let's get into Morph, because I know there was a lot of issues with Morph, with like the reception. So I don't necessarily want to get into like the non-binary and all that of it, because people have voiced their opinions about it. But simply Morph as a character, how do you feel about them being on this team now? Because we know that Morph had died and then was like resurrected and came back and like won everyone's trust. Do you think Morph fits, or should we have just left them in 1997 in real life?
Since he was like a fake character, I don't understand why. Like, he's not part of any comic book tradition. He himself is like a fake character. Maybe they added him later.
You to the show or to the books?
To the books. I said maybe they added him later, but
he's been in there, but I don't. But see, I'm going to,
because I think he was created. I think he was created for the show. kind of like a Harley Quinn situation.
I think you might be right. So I'm not going to give no pushback on that because I do not know the history in depth. Like, I've seen panels of him being around for some time, but I think it was in books that I did not read. But simply the power set itself, I got to say, I think Morph is killing it. I think Morph is more like, I don't want to say a MacGuffin, but more of a wild card, because you can have anybody they've seen, you can have, like when in the first episode when they fallen from the sky because the Blackbird was blown up, this motherfucker turned to Archangel and was and helping people, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's you lose Morph and you lose out on a lot. You can have two rogues, anybody you need, you can double it up.
That's why I feel weird about his character, because I know when Mystique changes characters, changes people, she does not gain their powers.
Right. So okay. Go ahead, finish out.
It feels like it just be an easy cop out for if you write yourself to a whole, hey, Morph comes in and saves the day.
I could see that. But I will say I haven't felt that so far. The only time that I really kind of side eye, and this speaks to what you were talking about, was in the second episode. Really quickly, he morphed into Psylocke, which is not a problem, but these two knives came out. I was like, no, I don't know the extent of Morph's powers if they could just like generate inorganic matter, like outside of the clothes. So I was like, now where these two long ass swords come from that you whooping ass with? So that's my one issue with Morph so far. I'm gonna let them cook, but that's my issue with them so far.
It's a plot device. I don't want them to just rely on the plot device. That may be my biggest issue.
But see, from where I'm sitting, I don't think that they have yet. Because I think with the Archangel thing, that was something. Then in the second episode with the fighting, like there was a lot of let me pull out these other powers and whoop your butt. But I don't think there's been a point where, like, the most that Morph has done to affect the plot was like interpersonal stuff, like talking to Wolverine when it was at the club, turning into Jean, being like, oh, you can't have her, motherfucker, you mad. Like, I don't think powers wise.
Hey, first of all, they need to stop teasing Wolverine, bro. That's not funny.
Hey. That motherfucker is like 200 years old. He be all right.
Chill. Because y'all see, I'm so mad that y'all made that meme of highlights of Wolverine and Jean, and it's at the jagged edge. He can't love you.
I don't know why he imprinted on her. I don't know what's going on, but bruh, Arlene's single ex ladies, and you going after this. They clone Tyrone ass chick.
You stupid, bro. Literally. Not they clone Tyrone. You stupid. So.
That chicken she made in the Christmas episode in the first series is what got him. We know it. The chicken and the beer. Okay, so we got the Morph out the way. You already voiced your opinions on Jubilee, and I'm gonna be fair, and I'm gonna leave that right there. Team Jubilee over here. What are we thinking about? Though we got Gambit in the heart to top, what about Gambit and Rogue's like relationship? If we can, what that look like for you? What you calling?
Fuck that nigga.
Oh no, you Gambit, you don't like?
Fuck that nigga. He a bitch for real, honestly.
Why he gotta be all that? Why you say that?
Cause that's my woman, yo.
Oh, okay. Well,
Rogue is my woman.
That's, you know what, you're right. I think in like issue 27 she was like, I belong to Ivy. I think that's what she said. So absolutely right. I could see that. I don't know how I'm feeling about this relationship. I think for me it's something new, so I'm not holding it to the standard of the 90s one, but I think we're having so much comic knowledge just from virtual reading it over the years with these two. I like them, but I feel like, what are you going to give us? I want to know what is this show going to give us? And what they're giving us now feels like leading up to like, Age of Apocalypse or something. That's what it feels like.
Oh my God. That new Age Apocalypse. Oh my god. No, I like, I'm like, no, it's just we're still very in the recent memory of that atrocious movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But I don't know, I could see that because you know they had them a little love affair and they had them a baby. They had that Charles baby. I can't remember if it was their baby or if it was, I don't think it was theirs. I think it was like Charles' descendant. I don't know. Listeners, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm sure I'm wrong. But Rogue and Magneto were together and they had that baby named after Charles. And so I'm like, y'all sitting here holding hands and playing around and shit. Let's.
That scene got weird. I'm not gonna lie.
Mm-hmm.
Was it episode two? Yeah,
that's yeah, weird. It was. That was interesting. So they've hinted at some past that they may have together, and there being this this is pretty much soap opera because that's what X-Men is. X-Men is a soap opera. That's what these fools is. They fucking around, fighting crime, going out of space, and having sex together and dealing with time travel.
Some guys have all the luck.
Okay. That's it. I don't know. So Jean is pregnant. Now for you, when you saw that, be it on the trailer or the first episode, was that a red flag? Did you care about that at all? The pregnancy, what's up? That's it. Are you there? We done lost Ivy. Well, I'll say I was not against it, but I figured the reveal we got in episode two, I figured that I didn't know in what way that would be expressed, but I felt like that was we were going to get something similar because Jean and Scott having kids, I think I'm going to butcher this, the kids that they have, I don't know, but then with it being a continuation of the 92 series, but with all of the extra characters and storylines we've gotten in the comics since then, it could have went anyway. So I had an idea that we were going to get some maybe time travel clone-ish stuff, but I didn't know how they would work through it. So I was a little surprised. Having her pregnant was a choice, and it was interesting. It was interesting.
No, she's like really pregnant.
Yeah. Oh,
she's super 12 pregnant.
Months pregnant.
I'm like, damn, girl, sit down.
Right, like you out there dressed up for basketball. That's not what we need right now. You ain't 3 months pregnant.
I'm like, elevate your feet. Like, you stay, like, get off the team.
Oh my god. Yeah, with her. I don't know. I like it though, because it's different again from before, and I think it's really different because we rarely get, when you get these type of characters, you, especially the women, they always have a certain body type and they have to look like that all the time. You're not getting you either getting a plus size character or you getting all these little tiny women. They might be different heights, but they're gonna be these little tiny women. So to see her pregnant, but then to see her snap back to a size two in episode two, I was like, god damn.
Mm. Was it her dream? Was it her dream or whatever?
I guess. Sure.
She's like, where's my baby? Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, bro.
Yeah. That's that right there. I don't know. So I had one idea about it, but after watching episode two, I'm viewing it differently. It felt like she was in a sunken place from Get Out or something. Like it felt.
That's what it looked like.
Yeah. I'm like, is she in hell? Like, what has she done? She's not done anything for this to be, well, so we thought, has not done anything for this to be the case. Like, what?
This ain't was shit.
Mm-hmm. So we got Jean, we got Cyclops, we got Rogue, we got Gambit.
Why don't they ever just give Cyclops like contacts that can suppress his power? They don't do that.
You know, I hope, and I'm saying I hope because I don't know for certain, I hope that there's a storyline where they attempted that because that feels very like it makes sense. Because even with the glasses, I get not the visor, but the glasses, but I'm like, your eyes still have to open. Like, so if I look through this, like if you look through the side of my glasses, you can see my eye. So yeah. Like if this man opened up his eyes and looked straight out, sure, it's going to stop the power, but there's a space between the front of the back of the glasses and the front of your eye. So why?
Unless some bitches just all on his face.
And they're not. They're not. I know sometimes he's been depicted with the regular glasses, but that little side piece at the front, like, I've seen that. But, like, we've seen this man's eyes more in these first two episodes than I have ever seen in the history of comics. This man's eyes been just open.
Like, goddamn.
I'm like, nigga, you can control that. At this point, you just being funny. You can control that.
My God, Gambit sucks so much.
Mm-mm. That nigga. I enjoyed him. I enjoyed him this episode. Even, and I'll say there was a healthy mix of me being impressed and enjoying him and then him getting on my nerves. But even with him getting on my nerves, it made sense because it was like for the mutants, for freedom, to freedom, whatever Nicki Minaj said. But like that fit his character. So even when I was irritated, I was like, all right, but I get it. He's the leader, the Boy Scout.
How are we feeling about Magneto?
I like a bad bitch. I like a bad bitch that'll walk in with them that bust down her back.
Yeah, that nigga hair was insane. I was like, there's no way him and Charles are the same age. No.
He was not fucking playing. He came in his one piece from Sheen. He had that cloak. He came in to fuck shit up. I liked him. I truly did enjoy. But, you know, I always like a villain. I always find a way to like. But him, this is very different from, like, I don't know, the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants or, like, Scorpio or Rhino. It's like that's different. I was feeling him. And a lot of it just comes down to his ideology. Yes, he's wrong, or you could say extreme in his execution, but, like, I mean, is he so wrong? I just want to peacefully coexist without y'all hunting my people. But I enjoyed him. I like that he talked this shit with the last will and testament of Charles Xavier.
Yeah, that. So about the Mag, this is definitely written for the people who are thinking that Magneto's right.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hey, no. I was like, I think you guys are misunderstanding Magneto. He does a lot of evil shit.
Oh, yeah.
I think people just overlook. He does a lot of very evil shit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Even to mutants themselves. Like,
well, they shouldn't have been in the no. Yeah, he's a bad guy. That's not there. That's no denying, no question that he is a bad guy. But I did like this. I did like this, and I like it because it's very, like, it would have been easy, of course, to be like, Scott, run the X-Men. But I do like using Magneto as this, like, point of contention for Scott. That kind of fucks up everything, because anybody could have walked in there. You could have said Tony Stark is now running the X-Men. And yes, there would have been pushback, but Magneto of all people, this man who was our first villain, the motherfucker who gave us hell forever and a day, and your end game for both him and the X-Men is pretty much the same. You're just going at it differently. And he just willing to, you know, break a few more bones than y'all. But yeah, so I enjoyed that he popped up and shook shit up in that marriage and in that house.
He's sick, man. He's a sick nigga.
Hey, I ain't mad at it. Do what you do, Eric. Do what you do. Yeah, that's wild. That's wild. So I'm interested to see what the Brotherhood or some of his past co-conspirators, what that looks like in this new series, because now that he's technically turned a new leaf, which he could be bullshitting. We don't know that. He could be like, let me just make
this motherfucker think I'm hey. I genuinely think he is. He is bullshitting.
Mm-mm. The only way I say he not bullshitting is if the rumors is true and him and Scott were more than just roommates, because the way them motherfuckers be.
You sick.
Them motherfuckers was eligibility community. That's what they are. So I'm interested to see what this looks like, this series. And I think that's the excitement for me, is that we know the history, we know the comics, we have all this, like, knowledge, but we don't know what this show is doing. The show gonna do whatever the hell they want, and we just have to go along with the ride. We'll see bits and pieces of stuff that we know and stuff that we're kind of familiar with, but, like, they're still just able to do whatever they want to do. And that's some of the excitement with this for me. Yeah. Magneto, that's my boy. That's my boy. Ew. Not ill. Yeah, so he taking him. So what about this, the big fight, the Sentinel fight? We touched on it for a bit with, like, Cyclops hitting the earth softly from his visor. But that old fight itself, we had Storm with this big main character moment. What did you think about that?
So now these niggas just beat up Sentinels.
Huh? All you right. said what? Oh, you not impressed? He said, cut the cameras, dead ass. He don't care.
So now these niggas could just beat up Sentinels now?
I mean, shit. They've been training for 5 years at this point. 92 to 95.
Bro, this nigga did a Batista bomb to a motherfucking Sentinel. Like, no. What is that?
The thing that made me more upset was Beast doing the Megazord. Like, I am...
Bro, that was crazy. That was insane. That, I'm like, what's happening here?
Now if it was somebody else, I don't even know who else. Maybe Morph. Like, maybe that's the way you could use them. But, like, Beast, your power does not allow you to just control a robot from it. Like, it's not... These are wires and cables. Like, you...
Like, he's just that smart. He figured out how to control it from the inside.
This logic ain't logic, but I just went with it. But I was like, oh, no, this is not how that works. You don't just get in and just pull shit, and now you can control it. But apparently so.
This nigga became a Megazord.
That's what I'm saying. Like, come on, Frazier. That's not what it is. Let's
kill my nigga Frazier, bro.
Man, look. He brought us girlfriends, and he brought us Hank McCoy.
Hey, his contribution to society needs to be studied. Hey. That nigga was in his bag.
Because it is varied. He has a portfolio.
I tell niggas say every UPN show, he was a...
Which is wild. Go ahead. You are listening to Frazier. No, he said, this is Frazier Crane, and I am listening. All right. Yeah, you.
I was a kid. Listening. I'm just like, I know that's not Frazier.
Hey.
Don't ask me why. I watched Frazier as a kid. I can't tell you how or why. But I was like really into Frasier as a kid.
This is a good show. It was a good freaking show.
It made me feel classy as shit. I was like, hold up.
It's that damn British accent Daphne had, and it's them big ass words him and Niles was using.
And the fact that the intro was like, yeah. Like, but I feel like, I feel like I got money.
What?
I feel like I got money for real.
I feel like I got money. No, that's, hey.
That is, shout out to Frasier. He really is just Hank McCoy. Now they just CGI-ing him.
No, truly. Yeah, bruh. But I don't know. All in all, the fight was cool. I did like the use of Storm's powers, making that sand into glass. That was pretty cool. I enjoyed it overall. There's not a whole lot in that first episode that I can like give pushback on, because I just think they did a good job at, even if you never watched the original series and you just come into it, some of the stuff that was said, this was mainly in episode 2, felt like you were giving us a lot of exposition, but it makes sense. If I can just put an extra 2 lines in this dialogue to make you understand and catch you up, you don't have to go back and watch 5 seasons of the old series. So I'm not mad at that, but I enjoyed this first episode. I truly did.
I'm rolling my eyes at Storm, bro.
What? Why? Tell me why in particular.
What they did. That just pissed me all the way
off. Oh, now, okay. We can get to that. Because not that it's going to make it better. Because I have some conversation about that. That'll maybe explain it for you. But that still don't mean that it's going to make it better for you. Because I get it. One of my homeboys was like, it's only 2 black people on this thing. It's like, I know, bro. But you just got to wait. They go pay it off. But... yeah, so I don't know. As far as episode 1, do you got any other rants, comments, concerns? Rogue, I think at the end was like, this is for Ivy. She said at the end of the first episode. I don't know if you saw that.
You stupid as hell.
Credit scene.
You stupid as hell.
Mm-mm. But yeah, so I don't know. We can move on into episode 2. Now, this opening with Magneto doing good deeds for the mutants across the world, do that feel like that's just a show for you? Do that feel like this is what I'm like putting on, or do you think this is genuine?
What about what exactly?
Magneto doing all these good things, saving the little boy on the Furious.
No,
you don't believe.
I know the character of Magneto too much. Like, he's not. He's always even like he's always good at default to doing some evil shit. Like,
man, he
always does it.
Mm-mm.
He's always gonna find a way to do some evil shit. Like, that's what I was telling him. It's like, no, Magneto is like, Magneto's his intentions of what he wants, you could say that's where he's right. No, but he definitively, every single time, he always chooses to do the wrong thing.
Man, you just don't understand.
He's going to find a way to do the wrong thing. Like, because I'll say, hey, for like logic and reasoning, like for what they want and how, for what they want, Magneto, a lot of times it's like more right than Charles is.
Mm-hmm.
But Charles does not going to resort to evil shit. Man, Magneto Charles. Results to a lot of evil shit.
Good.
That's all he does. That's Magneto's favorite thing to do, be evil.
Mm-hmm, fuck that. Eric, I got you, bro.
They got these long-ass gloves on his head. Boy, like, nigga, at least make your outfit look a little bit more like, hey, I'm turning a new leaf.
No, fuck that. He's
like, this nigga's like, hey, man, I run the X-Men. I got to unleash it to the world.
Let's say. That's up, man. Okay, let's get. So I'm going to go past the good deeds for a second. When they arrested him and took him to the UN, I said, why is that man not in a shirt and tie? You can't put nobody on trial with the same clothes they wore committing the crime. You can't do that.
No, they expedited the trial. They just brought him there. They just brought him to the courthouse.
I'm like, man, come on. Put a cloak on him. It's like that. And I know it's a cartoon, so of course, whatever. Like that,
they're not gonna change outfits that often.
But I was like, nigga, even the X-Men sitting over there in the damn church pews. I was like, y'all ain't got no blazers. You got fucking Beast just walking around with them Ethica draws on, fighting. Like, nigga, we are in public.
At least, even Beast in the fucking movie, he at least put on in both movies. He at least puts on a suit. Man, he had to
put on a suit. He was like, "Fuck all that."
Kelsey Grammer had on a suit.
Not this motherfucker. He said, "I come as I am, and you gonna get these furry blue balls in your face." Wait, what are you doing?
So I was doing an X-Men rewatch. For them to put such a big emphasis on Beast. He does not show up in that final act at all. Maybe he shows up. I don't care. Maybe he showed up, but like for how much emphasis they put on his character, you would have thought that he would have been like the main dude to everything centered around. But nope. More Hugh Jackman crying about Famke Jensen.
Which, shout out to her, but like
you're talking about somebody that was cute.
I was a fan. She had a very unique look.
She was bad. Like,
there's something going on here.
She was so bad to me.
Yeah, that's my gene. Now when I read comics, that's the voice I hear. Sophie, I don't think she would ever be.
In the second Wolverine movie, when he kept having a vision of Jean, yeah. I said my nigga really lost his best eater that wasn't ever his actual eater.
Oh my god!
It's because like almost 10 years to went by, and he's still thinking about her.
Oh my god! You are hell.
What was like?
No. Oh my god! Okay,
I'm just like, yo, they were never together, and he's still thinking about her like that. Like,
you got it, bad.
She's been dead longer than he's actually known her.
Hey, when somebody's making a impression.
And even at the end of Days of Future Past, they had to meet again. I'm like, bro. And then Scott come in the way. I'm like, this nigga here. You like, stop it.
Your wife no more, nigga. This is Wolverine's love. But yeah, that's why. I'm
like, nigga, we're brother husbands.
No, truly. Truly, you shit might as well. What is that in the well, I ain't gonna get into that, but in the Krakoa era, they hinted at a little love triangle thing, but whatever. Yeah, but Wolverine, I'm like, man, you've been around forever, you've had a lot of women. Not to say that Jean ain't great, like, because if she's the great one love of your life, sure, but like, nigga, you're effectively immortal, you need to get over it and find somebody else, because either that or whoop Scott's ass, like, you can't. You can't be pining after her and not whooping this man's ass. So,
and he can actually whoop his ass for real.
No, truly. Yeah, that's the fight. Yeah, I want to see that. Yeah, so that the Magneto opening to me was pretty cool. I did like the Ferris wheel thing, but I was also like, who the fuck is riding the but then again, it's 97. I think, and I could be reading too much into it, but I think when I'm looking at the color signature of a lot of these powers, something is off. Like, it's intentionally they've made it how they made it, but like with Jean's powers being blue instead of pink when they were pink in the original, if I'm not mistaken, at least in the comics they're pink, and then Eric's being yellow, I'm wondering if that's just because yellow just going to show up well on screen. But I don't know, my conspiracy brain is kind of going, and I'm thinking something ain't quite clean in the water. But yeah, so Eric doing these good deeds and then going into the sewers where the Morlocks were. So we could say what we want. We can have our opinions about Eric. But like he said, you motherfuckers sitting up here in your ivory tower with money up the ass, but ain't nobody thought to go into the sewers and rescue the Morlocks from this filth and squalor that they're living in. You hoes are just okay with that when y'all got all this damn money. So again, say what you want about Eric.
Fuck that.
He's a mutant's mutant. You know, you got them women, they girls, girls, and you got a guy's guy. He's a mutant's mutant. He making sure these motherfuckers is safe. Charles ain't did that at all. Them X-Men, I ain't gonna put so much on them, but Charles ain't did shit about them motherfuckers, and we knew they was down there. Yeah. So 1 point, Eric. Motherfucker. So all that.
No points, Eric.
Shit.
No points, Eric.
10 points to House of Eric Gryffindor. Because this nigga.
No points, Eric.
Good deed. So you mean to tell me him moving them mutants to Genosha and getting them sovereignty, that ain't no good thing.
Yeah, but like, what's one thing when you done like 3,000 pieces of evil shit? Like,
hey, it's a start. He's
done some of those evil shit I've ever seen in my life, bro. Man, the only niggas that are weak definitely say are more evil than him are like people's like Mr. Sinister.
Oh god, yes. Fucking,
like, yeah. Like that's really it. Or William Stryker. Like a Reverend William Stryker, like these are only guys you can definitely say her words. Magneto's very evil. If I'm wrong about him in the show, I'm wrong. But yeah. No, he does the most evil shit unprovoked that I've ever seen in my life. Like,
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Like, bruh. But then again, they always got these niggas doing the most egregious shit. Like, what? Like, Storm is there to help y'all, but for some reason, y'all decide to take her powers away.
Okay, so let's just jump right to that. So in the midst of the episode, we know Jean is pregnant. We got all the mutants going to the UN because Eric is on trial. And in the midst of this, the executioner with his bitch ass and that ugly ass costume, looking like a motherfucking, I don't know, Fortnite a dev or some shit. He out here shooting these magical MacGuffin guns. And in the midst of a fight where Storm and Eric was giving the Friends of Humanity / MAGA the business, he shoots a gun and it takes out Storm's power. She stops the ray from hitting Eric, which, hold on a minute, before we get into that, that has always been weird to me in anything, any movie, cartoon, or whatever. Why not just push the motherfucker out the way? Why are you diving into, like, I don't want to get hit too. Just drop kick this motherfucker so nobody gets hit. But she gets hit by the ray, and she loses all of her powers.
My biggest issue of them having that storyline, like, okay, so we're doing the exact same shit from X3. It's just, like, it's tiring at this point. Because we've seen it so many times, and it's like, hey, yeah, but I know it's a cartoon. Like, I've seen it already. Like, this whole... Like, no, this is literally in X3. Because somehow, like, Rogue got her powers back eventually. Eric got his powers back eventually.
Hey.
Like, so why are we redoing this? Like, no, take Gambit's powers.
Take
Jubilee's powers.
Okay.
Take Morph's powers. Why are you taking Storm's powers?
So, with that, and now I'm going to explain, but I'm not saying that this is going to justify it or make it better. Because I feel like that's a legitimate concern. Because, like you said, you've seen this before. But that life-death storyline with Storm in the comics where she lost her powers and she dealt with this and, like, her and Forge had this little thing, I think, up in the mountains and shit, and she eventually got her powers back.
If you're going to do that, don't make it the beginning of your reboot series.
But see, that's
a version of Storm that everyone loves. We're like, yo, this is the only version of Storm that we got that was done, like, that they did right by her.
Mm-hmm. And see, I could see that being... The argument, I can see that from your point of view, especially because we don't have 22 episode seasons anymore. And I don't expect her to have them powers going longer than maybe 2, maybe 3 episodes. Maybe she gets it back in the third. But even with that, I think it's only 8 episodes of this first season, if I'm not mistaken. So, like,
probably.
I'm with you. There, you know, there's a certain amount. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
So we got to follow her.
Oh, we got 11.
She's probably gonna be without the bitches the whole season. Like,
I don't think so. I think we getting them back at least. And we can make a bet, not a money bet, just a general bet, nigga. I'm gonna say about three episodes. I'm gonna say about, what are we in, episode two, three, four, five, about the fifth episode, I think she's gonna have them powers back. Cause you still gotta fight, what was it, Callista Flockhart, in the Morlocks. You gotta fight her powerless. I think she whoops Scott's ass powerless. He's like, all right, you get to run the team, because clearly you can whoop my ass. So I think, what is that, episode five is, oh shit, never mind, because they got life, death is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's episode 5, 6, 7. 7 is life, death part 2. So yeah, she ain't gonna have no powers to episode 7. Yep, so I already lost. Ugh. Yeah, man. Sorry, Storm. Yeah. Powerless. That's unfortunate, man. I don't know. Any predictions, I guess, you got for coming up? Because she didn't
bail. For her or in general?
Well, both.
Eric is about to do some evil shit. Like, and no one wants to hear me out. Eric is about to do some of the most evil shit we've seen, man, from Magneto in the last 10 years.
This is crazy. This is fucking crazy. I would really like to. I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm not going to give you pushback because, again, we don't know what this motherfucker got going on. But
No, he's going to do something evil. That's what I know. That's what I know.
You're like, I'm telling you, nigga, this is what he's going
to do. He's going to do some most evil shit in the world.
Oh, my God. That's, I mean, you know, it's what it called. But the other thing is, when is Charles coming back? Because we know that man ain't dead. So,
bro, that nigga never die.
Man, he might come back at the
end. Even if nigga came back, I think in Wolverine and X-Men, I said, nigga, this show's only a season long.
You can't keep that man down too long. You can't.
He talk about some nigga to do the most crazy backward shit to come back to life.
I wonder if we're getting any hinting at Krakoa, at the Krakoa era from the comics. Simply because there was, when the first trailer for this show dropped, there were a lot of people like breaking down different screenshots, and there was a Hellfire Gala style flyer that was like in that opening scene. We got Sarah, the mutant with the bones in her face and stuff. She's a Morlock, so I wonder if we're getting her. I think for me, the biggest concern about the show is that it's set in 97. We've had tons of characters since then. And like, even introducing Roberto in the first episode, he's a new mutants character. Are we getting them next? Is he just like, hey, this motherfucker here, he's just the new Jubilee of this series? Like, that's my thing, is like, how deep are we going with this? Because there's a lot of beloved mutants and a lot of people who have a lot of different favorites. They're like, I got my own favorites. Generation X, that, I don't know if they ever going to show up on screen again. And that shit hurts.
They're really only on screen in that live action.
That fucking movie / pilot that didn't work out.
I just watched the review. They were doing a bad movie roast of that shit. I'm like, oh my God. Like, why would you do this?
It was so bad. But I love that show. That? I don't care. I watched that bitch on repeat all day. I love that shit. Damn. Fuck. So with Magneto, wop head ass. We got him versus the Friends of Humanity. We got the Executioner. We got the Morlocks. Now, I know you saying he evil.
No, because he's definitively evil.
Okay, that's fine.
He's as evil as Armie Hammer is a cannibal.
Okay,
like you know what? The reason that best said I'm 100% a cannibal.
Nigga, yeah. So you don't, you not falling for
his acting. He's not a good dude. Like, he's not a good dude.
What Tasha say in Insecure? You know what? You worse than a fuck nigga, because you a fuck nigga who think you a good dude.
that's what makes Magneto so evil. Like, he's going to find a way to betray these niggas because he always does it.
Well, I'll say.
You think I'm just a nigga that ripped the adamantium out of Wolverine's body?
Well, now hold up. Now Wolverine attacked him.
He almost died. Wolverine almost died with Feral. Like,
don't run up if you can't hang. No, fuck that. If you can't hang, don't fucking run up. You the last motherfucker that need to be fighting Magneto.
And my nigga Charles shut that nigga brain down.
It did. We got Onslaught. So look at that. Ain't nobody winning in this shit.
Hey, yeah, that shit's crazy. I said, God damn. I read that shit in half price books when I was a kid. I said, God damn.
This shit is wild. Man, say, like, because you niggas can't get along, and these two niggas having a breakup, not everybody got to feel the effects. Why do we need Onslaught? You didn't terrorize. That shit touched every inch of the Marvel Universe.
And nigga, they're talking about, yo, Professor X, like it was him that was holding Onslaught back. I'm like, he's holding the nigga that still do evil shit back? What you mean?
Yeah, ain't no way. Ain't no way.
Just because Magneto is pure evil, like, it's because that's the one thing that no one ever really discusses is Magneto suffers from the complex, and we're kind of witnessing this with the whole thing that's been going on with Gaza. Obviously, truly prayers out to like all the Palestinians out there, especially during Ramadan. Like, it's this idea of the oppressed becoming the oppressor. Like, Charles just wants to coexist. He does not want to be buddy buddy with humans. Mm-hmm. He's like, hey, just let us live life. Essentially, that's what Charles wants. Charles is like, yo, just let us kind of just live. Magneto wants to end them niggas low-key.
Well, now, I don't think you're wrong, but I do feel like he has the same objective as Charles, but it's like Charles want to coexist without no bullshit. But Charles is also pandering to these niggas, which, and I'm not saying that's inherently bad, because sometimes you got to play the game, you know.
It's very Sidney Poitier being the first black person, being the first black man to win an Oscar. Like, yeah, you're having to take roles that, and you're kind of like, a good half of your filmography is the magical Negro trope, and you can't really say much in the face of racism, because you know, like, hey, me being here is going to help usher in this. Yeah, so I have to take the good with the bad. It's kind of a very similar complex. So, well, Charles is not pussy.
Oh, at all.
Let's get this straight. Charles isn't pussy. Charles is not pussy at all. Like, he knows he's just that nigga for real. He's like, I could just sock the shit out this nigga right now.
You gotta wipe your mind right now.
Bro, he shut down Magneto. He turned that nigga into Terry Schiavo. Like,
even this nigga. He said that he was like, yeah, there was a time where I thought I needed this helmet because I felt Charles in my mind. I'm like, no, yeah, nigga, he was in there rearranging shit.
He was in your mind for real. He was like, yo, let me get to this nigga. He was probably doing it before. He said, hey, yo, watch this. He had some Reaper on. He's like, hey, yo, watch, I'm about to get this nigga real quick.
Get the face at, with that Beyonce's, I'm trying to get all up in your mind. Yeah, that nigga wasn't, we weren't playing. If mutant kinds of crime, then I'm gonna make you mine, nigga. Yeah, Charles is not. All right, bro. Hey, Beyonce caught it. She won't play. But yeah, I want to be clear. I have my issues with Charles, but that ain't nobody to fuck with.
People act like he's such a bitch. I'm like, no, that nigga's not pussy. Charles is not pussy at all.
Because then he go toe-to-toe with the Shadow King, like when he met Storm as a kid. Wasn't they like, what, them niggas like fighting? They was playing chess, but they was like in each other's heads.
Nigga. Stop playing with my boy.
Yeah.
Not like, again, you get Eric's perspective because he's a Holocaust survivor, but still, like, that's what the thing is. Like, there's nuance because neither of them are fully right.
Right.
They're both about 50% right and 50% wrong.
And I think it changes too. Like, even though I am a fan of Magneto, I do think there are times where, like you said, there's 50-50, but there's times where it's like, no, 30-70. Like, nigga, I don't know. You may be right. Like, because you're saying factual things, but you're not right because you ripping adamantium off these niggas. So I get it, yeah.
Like, even if, like, when he said, yo, Enix said, yo, Charles, he said, Charles wanted a better life, so I ain't even gonna do y'all like that. Mm-hmm. He said, but I'm well within my right to fuck y'all niggas up for real. I'm like, yo, and like, that's very warranted. Like, that's very warranted because, like, yo, no, y'all don't know shit.
Yep.
Like, that's very warranted. But I'm just witness Magneto do too many evil things for me to be like, yeah, he's actually right. No, that nigga is not right. Like, movie. He was about to sacrifice Rogue's life to turn all of New York into mutants.
The needs of many. One.
If they're going based off of how Senator Kelly turned out, because, hey, we are past the age of mutation, where mutation can truly manifest. So almost in the sick way they're doing those weapon experiments in Deadpool, it's going to fuck with you very crazy, or you're going to die. So I'm like, no, he's about to kill half of New York. Like,
Thanos did it.
Exactly. Evil nigga. Like,
he had a good reason.
I'm still in the legend. Thanos, his plot line was such bullshit.
It was dumb. Yeah,
If you cared this much, like, you probably could have just increased the resources, but like, oh yeah, you're evil. It's like, no, you're not right. You're inherently wrong because your answer for this is genocide. Like, you're wrong. Like, there's nothing to be right about. You're wrong.
And it's not even, not that this will make it better, but it's not like we're going to snap away all of the criminals. Because even that's like, you know, the argument of like, now redemption, how do you, you know,
not snap away criminals, not overthrowing clearly flawed government ideas.
He was just like,
same thing with Killmonger, where he was just like, hey, I was like, hey, Killmonger's right. I'm like, no, Killmonger's ideology is imperialism. Like, imperialism, that's what he wanted. That's wrong. Colonialism's wrong. Imperialism's wrong. Genocide is wrong. Like, I don't know how many times this has to be said. Like, these are very wrong things.
I don't know, man. No,
these are very wrong things.
Except
empathize with you, but like, no, you're wrong.
I
understand why you beat that kid's ass because he's making fun of you. But like, hey, you had to kick his teeth in. Like,
well,
you didn't have to.
But
all he did was make fun of your haircut. You didn't have to, like, kick his teeth.
You had to curb stomp him then. He won't make fun of your haircut no more.
It's like, hey, you didn't have to do that.
Yeah, I think it seems like for you, it's like the punishment should fit the crime. I push you, you can push me back. But when you stab me in my chest because I pushed you, that's a little extreme, huh?
Like, nigga, like, damn, nigga, you stabbed a nigga 8 times. All he did was make fun of your shoes while you stabbed me twice.
Well, he ain't gonna do that shit no more. And I could see that. I can definitely see that. I understand what you're saying, and I do. Like, I'm not just oblivious to the facts. But I do think, to your point, Magneto has been pushed further. I think you cannot ignore, and I know the Holocaust at this point is so far removed, where if they continue, like, there's going to have to be some changes with Eric, because even in comics, there's going to come a point where you're like, okay, how old is this nigga for real? Like, we have to give him immortality as a healing factor, because
the issue is like, the Holocaust is not the only form of genocide that we've seen in the world since the 40s.
No.
It's not like, hey, Holocaust, apartheid, and then the Middle Eastern crisis in the 21st century. Like, it's not just that. It's like more things that happen.
Yeah.
But for the time these characters are written, it was very fresh on people's minds. They were still very young. No, at this point now, it's like, Holocaust was a very awful genocide. But it's like, hey, you can make them Eastern European, when they were dealing with guys like Joseph Stalin, they were dealing with all these very dictator type people. Like, you could still use that in a way, but you wanted an event bad enough to where you could understand it. So it's not like, hey, civil rights or Holocaust. You can do a lot of other shit. You don't have to make it.
But specifically with him, he is so and that's, I think, the issue with Magneto. Is that, like, there's certain things that are just intrinsically part of a person. Like, Black Panther is tied to Bast, it's tied to Wakanda, it's tied to, but it's also a title. So Shuri could have it and T'Challa. But then it's something like Spider-Man, like, the spider bite, that's the thing. You can't have Peter Parker without that spider bite. And I think with Magneto, the present day Magneto we get, if you know nothing about him and him wanting mutants to be good and whooping off on humans, stems directly from his trauma dealing with the Holocaust. So,
and that's why I said, there's other genocidal events you can use if you don't want to make that nigga 100 something years old.
But I think you can't do that with him.
You just have to understand from him why.
Mm-hmm.
That's really all. You got to just understand his why and his trauma, because the same, like, in the way that most people were never understanding what Superman's character arc or who he really is, because his motto has always been truth, justice, in the American way. That's a very flawed thing, because, like, we know now America's like a very
sinister.
Like, it's sinister. It's very fucked up. It's created with a bunch of bullshit. And it's like, no, It's like, no, now the ideology, they think they changed the truth. Just it's like it's truth, justice, and a better tomorrow. So, like, to give you the same, like, no, we're like, he's still this.
I get what you're saying.
But we're still okay. Like, so the point of who he is not lost.
I see.
And we're updating it. So,
see, so I hear you and I do agree. My only, it ain't even concern, but the thing, like, if I'm thinking 15 years in the future, and we get another reboot or even just more comics with Magneto, I think what's going to maybe stop that, and I'm speaking this as someone who's not Jewish, so if there's someone who want to chime in who's like, you have a different way that you think this could work, fine. But that aside for now, I think you got those diehard fanboys and fangirls who are angry at any little change. And so where I think you're right, that
I told them, nigga, go somewhere.
Oh, yeah, no. That's all day, every day. But I think that would be your loudest minority that would be like, oh, but this ain't true to the character. But I'm like, I know that it's a revolving timeline where nobody truly ages past 25, 27 in comics. But we are going to get to a point where you're going to have to just make him immortal like Wolverine, because it's not going to make any sense unless, like you said, you attach him to a different maybe genocide. And that's me, again, speaking to someone who's not Jewish, so I'm going to leave that there. But I think that him and his trauma makes him different from Xavier, which I think that's very clear.
Yeah,
he's different from Xavier in that way. But I think...
Like, and that's why I said, like, unresolved trauma. That's where I kind of push the idea is like, hey, the oppressed becoming the oppressor is the idea of it's the idea of unresolved trauma. And now you're kind of trying to navigate instead of saying, hey, these people just deserve to kind of just live. It just exists. Maybe me not doing sinners to shit on a regular basis and essentially starting and essentially creating a terrorist organization. Maybe me doing that should maybe I'm the problem. Maybe
I don't know.
I said, you know what? Maybe me kidnapping the president isn't a good idea. Like people are very terrified of us. Maybe I should not take a horde of guns and aim them at everybody. Like maybe I should.
I mean, yeah, so because even during the trial, I was like, though I'm against the UNs or the council judges, I do understand where they're coming from. And I understand where Eric coming from, but the difference between the two, I don't want to feel like I'm going with the state, is that this is actions of many, like the humans. You got the Friends of Humanity, you got the people going after mutants, but Eric is the actions of one. Like, that's one person we can point to versus, like, there could be a mutant hate group, sure, but just as much as there could be a mutant hate group, there's, like, thousands of humans who are like, we're keeping you safe. And so, what are you going to do with them? Knock their asses out, too? So, I don't know. I feel Eric, and I do think, like I said, that trauma is what has him where he is, but, like, I guess the next step would be like, does he get therapy? And even getting therapy, that ain't no overnight fix. Cause like,
you gotta do the work for therapy and actually try to change it. Now, maybe he will have an arc where he does really try to change. Maybe he will, and then we can revisit this conversation. But it's just like, just you can't just sprinkle therapy on therapy like it's parsley. Because to me, the idea of doing therapy now and no one's really putting an effort to change, it's like when niggas would go to the church, get baptized, and get saved. And then they just go back to doing the same thing and be like, well, I'm saved. No, you're still a terrible person. Like, you have to have a redemption arc and actually change.
I don't know. I think.
Whether it be like, hey, you got to do this jail time. Hey, you got to do something.
No, I mean, I think you're right, because even in the first series, when Beast went to jail, when he didn't really do the shit, and they broke him out, he was like, no, I'm going to stay here. Like, I'm gonna go through trial. And I think this Magneto trial, to me, felt rushed. Not rushed, it felt quick. I think because we don't get a lot of episodes, but it seems like he should have been on trial for, like, at least one or two episodes, because they didn't bring up all the heinous shit he did. They just like, oh, so-and-so's mentioning all the bad stuff. Yeah, but let's let the audience see this. But I still think there's hope for my boy. I do.
We have almost 70 years of comic history of this nigga. No, just 60 years. We have about 60 years of comic history of him just being the most evil nigga on earth.
I don't know.
We don't have to keep, even like that new run of X-Men, even like where Charles is like a villain. I'm like, bro, like, why? I don't get the obsession with wanting to make heroes villains. Maybe that's just me.
And it's even making villains heroes.
We want to make villains good guys. We want to make heroes villains. I'm like,
because we don't have these. I think because we're not telling stories in comics the way we used to. Like, you'd be lucky if you get anything past 6 to 12 issues on a title before now it's rebooted, because number one sale. Back in the day, you could have a 60-issue run of a comic. And it's just run going on, and you have that space to do that.
Yeah, because they officially rebooted the Black Panther comic, which very disappointed me, because I was a big fan of that comic run.
Bruh.
I started reading the new shit. I'm like, this is ass. Like, this is ass. Like, we got to start telling these guys that their work is ass. Because
oh, no. Well, like, folks tell
it's
them.
Ass. Like, it's ass. Mm-mm. I'm sorry, it's ass. I was the main one screaming my lungs out. I said, no, when Ironheart first dropped, I'm like, no, y'all need to do better. This is ass.
Mm-mm.
When Miles Morales first came out, I'm like, no, y'all need to redo better. This is ass. Like,
keep telling them. Telling them.
This is ass. Black Batman. This is ass. Like,
oh, no. Did you say Black Batman?
Yes, the Black Batman. We reviewed it. I kept reading. I said, yo, this is ass. And I'm like, I'd rather watch season 2 of Luke Cage.
Nigga. I'll just leave that there. I guess you mentioned your thoughts about Storm and her losing her powers, but like prior to that, your thought is that this man is evil, but let's, like, the little tag team him and Storm had going on, was that at least
it looked cool? It looked cool. I just know he's gonna betray them at some point.
Okay,
he's gonna betray them at some point. Like, I'm just waiting on it.
Oh my god, y'all, listen, y'all, let us know. What do you agree with Ivy? You think he's gonna betray the mutants, or do you think, nah, you know, he turned over a new leaf? Let me know, because the way he was getting real freaky deaky at the creep in with Rogue. Like,
what that was nasty. That was nasty for real.
Freaky ass frog. What the fuck was that?
I'm like, nigga, your dick shouldn't even be working, bro. Like, you get your ass on somewhere.
You are their teacher. This is contractually, this is not supposed to happen.
I like, bro, call HR. This is your subordinate.
Look, and that's what she, well, they aged her up, but like, this, you're 100. Okay, Edward and Bella, this is not necessary. Better yet,
I love how people just always casually forget that Jacob technically fell in love with their unborn daughter.
Stephanie Meyer, she just wrote some shit and was just like, there was no second draft. I think Twilight was like a first draft book. There was no second draft.
It just kept getting popular. So it's just like,
yeah, what else? What's next? Like, it was always you. It was her. Even when she was not, but whatever. I don't want to go down there because I have thoughts.
I can't imagine telling a girl who I'm in love with. I'm like, hey, actually, I can't realize I'm going to be very protective of your child, and me and her are going to fall in love one day.
Like,
she'd be like, no, I'm calling the police.
But no, but not just that. Then you say, oh, remember when you moved here 2 years ago? Before you even was anywhere near pregnant, I was in love with that baby. It wasn't you. What? What are you talking about? This is Stephanie Meyer is. Go, sit down.
It's because she wanted to find a way to satisfy the audience of Jacob and Edward.
Yeah.
In reality, if you want to do that, you have to have her choose herself and not really fall in love with either one of them. Mm-hmm. That, like, a sensible person would do that. It's like, you know what? She grows she gets older, and then she gets some goddamn sense because she's not a horny teenager anymore.
Yeah.
Neither of these two guys are actually great for me. And yeah, I'm a vampire now. I got to live this culture, but like, I choose myself. Like, that's how it should have ended, realistically.
But even with her baby.
And she's like, nah.
Yeah, Stephanie, you will pay for your crimes against vampire and humanity. So,
vampire lore be so cool sometimes. This, look what she did.
Yeah, that sparkling diamond studded Swarovski crystal skin niggas. Yeah. And then you got them Scooby Doos. She was terrible. She was terrible. So with the loss of the powers, let me get back to Eric and Rogue real quick. So he alluded to them having some sort of history. Now, I didn't initially think something romantic. I was thinking like, okay, maybe some bad shit she did that the X-Men don't know about, even though she's turned over a new leaf. But the way he was talking and she pulled that glove off, they effectively had sex. Because like, you exposed Why he didn't get zapped? What mind control do Debo got over her that she could touch him? And controlling metal cannot explain everything.
That's a, again, they're rehashing shit from the movies. This is the same shit with Iceman. He's like, no, I love you, and I can handle, I control it.
He didn't even, that didn't even affect him. He was just like, yeah, this that freaky shit we used to do back in the day. We used to hold hands, and you would get my memory. Like,
I'm telling you, that's what X2 was, because they was kissing on each other. She started using ice breath. Like, this the same shit. Like, this is, we're getting the same arc in the movie.
This is my issue with Rogue, and not issue, like, it's not her, it's the show. Do you remember in the first series where she whooped everybody's ass? Not Evolution, but the first animated series where she was like whooping Juggernaut, everybody, because all the motherfuckers was in her head. You make her steal energy from the doctor to create, to do the surgery, and then he touching her. Like, when is she gonna have a mental, like, y'all ain't, her mental health, y'all don't care about that? Like, this woman has been through more than any of y'all. I don't care. Rogue has been through more than any of y'all. Maybe not Bishop, but any of y'all. Why do y'all keep making her do this stuff?
Do that. It's like, then you get Legion, essentially.
Yeah, that's what she's gonna end up being. Like, that's no, Carol Danvers lived in her head for, like, what was that, like 2 years in comic book history? Like, y'all, she's gonna have some mental ramifications from this. I don't like that at all. And I like that her, because first of all, do you realize that the Rogue voice actress sounds like Tiny Harris? She sounds exactly like Tiny.
Now that you say it, I can kind of hear it.
That's Tiny. So Rogue is an R&B songstress. That's Tiny. But I think that if they do not address that in this season, I'm not. That's one thing that I think.
And it might as well just be a reboot. It might as well be a whole reboot at this point.
I mean, truly, because we get Homegirl stumbling out of Eric's office and Gambit with this car. Which, what was he doing? Were you following her? Like, if you're suspicious that your girl cheating on you, I mean, sure, that's valid. Talk to her about it. But, like, standing outside that door like Mr. Biggs and R. Kelly and what's that video? I don't know. But, like, what are you doing, Gambit?
You're stupid, bro.
That shit was probably playing in the background. It was the 90s. So, like, what?
You're stupid.
That was him. So, I don't know, man. This shit is weird.
Now, how you know my name, son?
Yeah, because me and your girl was together, but when she was evil and had that orange hoodie. I don't know. So I want to get into Storm real quick about how she lost her powers, and then she was like, bye, niggas. Like, she didn't even...
Bro! That's the part that had me mad. I'm like, yo!
Why would y'all do this? That didn't seem like that was in line with Storm. I'm sorry. This is her family. What are you doing? Like, she wrote this letter, and I mean, I guess I get it because we are doing the life death thing, and she's going to have her own arc. But, like, Storm ain't leaving because she's not a mutant. That seems like some evil shit that Eric did to Mystique when she was no longer a mutant. Like, that's not something.
That's literally the shit that was in X3.
That's what I'm saying. Like, but that's, it makes no sense for the Storm character. Like, yeah, she would feel some type of way, but she not leaving right after day one. Like, where are you going, girl? You don't know nobody else. You're from New York. You are from New York. Where are you going? She going back to Africa. She going to, I don't know, man.
I'm mad thinking about this shit again, bro.
This is wild. So we gonna see her in episode 5 or 7 or something, but shout out to you, sis. And then I'm also like, if there are mutant hating people, is it safe for you to be traveling by yourself on public transportation looking how you look? People can recognize you and they start whooping on you and you ain't got...
Nah, she took off the earring, so they're not gonna remember her.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
They're not gonna know who she is. That's what did it.
That was so weird. That was weird. They put on no hat, ain't slicked that hair back, ain't put on a ponytail. She was like, what? Shit.
I've always remember Storm having just very just like long, luxurious hair, almost looking like she was Tina Turner.
Mm-hmm.
Now she got this mohawk, and I'm like, you know what? Maybe I need to rewatch the ending of the animated series again because I do not recall her having this goddamn mohawk in a TV show.
Her and Gambit got the same fucking hair, and that's the problem.
Gambit's crop top might as well have been a bra. Like, that might as well, like, damn, that bitch go high.
Not a bra.
Bitch go high. Like, god damn.
And also, like, I get
that. Bitch, that is high. Bro. That is up there.
But you dating Rogue. I'm sorry. I love you to death, Rogue, but I got to put on a turtleneck. Because you know what I'm saying? But he like, shit, touch me. Man, I don't give a fuck. Touch me. Touch me. Tease me. Oh, shit. Cody dead ass ain't saying that. She didn't kill Cody.
I thought he was just in a coma.
I thought he died. Well, shit.
I swear the nigga's in a coma for like years or some shit.
No, truth, man. That's unfortunate, Cody. He need his own limited run. 2-3 issues. What happened after that?
Guess what happened in his head during the whole time he was in a coma.
Oh, my God. And it's not that scene that Gene and Give Me My Baby in episode one. Like, what? No. So I don't know, man. I guess that's all I got, because my last question was, do you think Eric changed? But you've answered that 40 times though.
God, fuck that nigga, bro. God, fuck that nigga.
Oh my god, you ain't here for him.
Me and all my homies hate Eric Lyncher, bro.
Oh my god, fuck that nigga. That's crazy.
Fuck that nigga, man.
Oh man, I wonder if the twins is gonna pop up in this season, and you know what would that mean for him? But at least Polaris, let her walk up like, nigga, you my dad? Not with that green hair, I ain't. But yeah, that's that, man. That's episodes 1 and 2, X-Men 97.
So I decided it actually is a really good show. Yeah, I'm just mad as hell that, like, hey, I'm just mad as hell still about Storm.
No, you're not wrong.
And he was like, I may need to do a little bit more.
Who?
That nigga said, I may need to do more tests. You know, right. For me to really get the effects. They're like, what? They're like, tell us how it is. The effects seem to be permanent. Even though you've only been looking at it for a few hours, like, no, maybe you should actually run more tests and, like, yeah, figure some shit out, because nothing permanent is actually really permanent except AIDS. Like,
even that, when he was talking about, like, the radiation on the collars are what stopped him temporarily, and this was permanent. But I'm like, if
he wasn't exposed to that much radiation.
And it was really quick. I was like, she might be good in a month. Like, what do you mean? what do you mean?
That's what I thought too. When they mentioned the collars, I'm like, it seems like it'll do the same shit that it did. Because if they're using radiation, mm-hmm, and not the DNA of an actual mutant who can suppress power, mm-hmm, mutant abilities.
Leech. Mm-hmm.
It will make more sense that this will be temporary.
Yeah. Which is also like, and I know this is asking so much more of this show that we're probably never going to get, but what about prolonged use of them collars? Like, even if I can fly, but I'm in trial every 2 weeks, and you put that collar on me every 2 weeks, nigga, eventually that shit gonna build up, and I'm probably not gonna be able to fly anymore. Like, I don't. What's going on, man? Also, this is an evil fucking world we live in. The episode where Storm get her powers taken away, you got this fucking supremacist executioner throwing a collar on Bishop. I was like, nah, brother, I don't know. The optics in this episode ain't looking too good. So need to work that shit out. But I'm enjoying it. I'm wondering if we're gonna get Shard. That's something, you know, I want to see what we might get since we got Bishop. And also, I wonder how are we going to play up Cable, considering it did appear in the first series, and now he's just been born in this one. What is that going to look like? And then here's the million-dollar question, and you tell me your answer. Who is the real Gene? Is it Gene from episode 1? Is it Gene who fainted in episode 2? Or is it Morph? Because I feel like Morph might be a contender. The real Gene.
I think the real question is, do I care?
Do you care? Do you not care? Or is it Morph?
I don't give a shit.
Oh, shit.
I've never been big on Gene, though. So, like, I don't give a shit.
Interesting. I'll say I'm really just taking it as is. I think it's the second chick, but I'm taking it as is. And go see how they play this, because either way, we know we're going to get the Goblin Queen. We're going to get Madeline Pryor in some capacity. But they got a lot of shit to juggle in this 11-episode season. So that's that. Well, folks, it's been real. Let these people know where they can find you and follow you and support you and, you know, all that good shit.
Yeah, I'm at Ivy No Carter on _ on Twitter. That's where I be these days. I mean, if you want to follow Ivy's Game Vault on YouTube, I'm going to start streaming again for some video games eventually, maybe when I come back from my vacation.
Hey.
But yeah, that's really it. That's all I'm doing.
Them links will be in the show notes, y'all. So make sure to give this man a follow and look out for his content whenever it may drop. And of course, I'm Rain Coleman, the Carefree Black Nerd, Carefree Blurred on Twitter and TikTok, Carefree Black Nerd on IG and YouTube. Hit me up, talk to me, follow me, use that hashtag TMMXPod to be my X-Men podcast. And we will, I don't know, check y'all the next time. Stay carefree, stay nerdy, stay geeky. And remember to come to me, my mutants. I don't know, whatever. All right, y'all. Shit.